Listen, Casey, y'all don't know. I'm up here. The sound guy's back there. We're not going to blame him. But our normal sound guy's in Washington, D.C. So sometimes when the adults are away, we don't know what we're doing. Amen? Let's recognize the fathers at least before some of y'all go to children's church, because I know that y'all go for the snacks. So if you were a dad or a granddad, I guess that would still make you a dad. Stand up. Let's not all do it at once. You're going to have to stand up twice. I didn't even recognize you this morning, Stephen. How much weight have you lost? Like a whole dad's worth? Dang. I'm just glad you're not exercising in front of my house. Shoo. All right. Y'all look good. Now, wives, look around and make sure you say your husbands. I know you know my list. I won't remind you every 6 months. We'll get it done. Amen? All right, you may be seated. Let's get rid of these kids in the best way possible. Who's in charge of that? Yes, you. Dang. What happens if more leaves than stays? The amen corner is just going to have to get a little louder. That's right. I don't know his name, but I like him already. He said yes as he was leaving. Now that I think about it, he's like, they're snacks and not you. And then there was just us. I see a handful of them. They actually got the memo last night or this morning that I was preaching. They're like, it's a good day. I'm just kidding. They're on vacation. They wouldn't willfully do that. Now, my teenagers, on the other hand, when I asked them this morning, y'all just be near the front because we're going to do a little bit of that thing for a while. And they're like, no. So now they have to come up here. If you went on the mission trip, come up here and sit right here, stand, be a part of things. You have to as well. But you're probably going to have to stand all the way up here so they can see you. You want this one? Sit.
No, he said.
No, yeah, right here. I know as much about this morning as y'all do about how it's going to start and finish, so that looks great to me. I don't know how to operate this one. I'm going to tap it. Oh, it's hot. Scratchy. All right, there you go. All right. Thankfully, that's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 7 out of 16. Now, I know some of y'all's eyebrows are like, whoa. So we rolled out to, we went to Egypt, and then we turned left, and we ended up where we were supposed to be. I ain't going to lie. It's the middle of nowhere. And we'll talk through those things because I don't know how we're going to go. But we rolled with 16 teenagers or 16 youth group members and 3 and a half adults. I am definitely the half because I don't even care that I get credit, but I don't like to be in charge. I will tell you one story before we really get started. So in my infinite wisdom, we have a bus full, and then I'm pulling this massive trailer, and my little Ford, as much as I love it, it doesn't love Phil's trailer. And yes, the guy that was supposed to take it back, he hasn't done it yet. It's still right there. That's my fault. I don't see it until I get here just like y'all, and I'm mad at me just like y'all are, so apologize. But anyway, so I said, we got kids that get car sick. So if you have ever heard of Cameron, West Virginia, before we went there, raise your hand. Okay, fantastic. This is a new story for all of you. All right, so Cameron, West Virginia, if you go to Moundsville and then you go kind of southeast for 40 minutes, you'll find it. If you go to Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, and go southwest 45 minutes, you'll find it. If you go to Wheeling and Tridelphia and go straight down, more than 45 minutes, you'll find it. So in my infinite wisdom, we were looking at the maps, and I said, man, we got car sick kids. We had two options. It was either go to Bridgeport or Fairmont and run 250 over, solid long time up 250, and I'm like, there's going to be puking, and I'm not cleaning up puke. Or you can go to Parkersburg and run the river up and then cut over for a good long while, and I'm like, I don't like that either. And then the third option that Mr. Google, that we are not friends right now, he said, stay on 77 all the way to 70, cut across into Wheeling, and then just on the map, it was like this, just drop straight down. And I'm like, That's all interstate. This is the greatest decision as the leader I can make. Let's do that. So we did that. So we venture on up there, and we ended up at a Walmart. So we had some rules at Walmart. We let them get breakfast, a snack, and something to drink. So we had a good time, and now we embark on our journey. And we went out of the back of the parking lot at Walmart in Tridelphia, or Wheeling, I guess if you go up that way, whatever. And I thought already that Trevor was going the wrong way because, like, I thought that somebody just left the gate open on the back of the parking lot. You ever seen one of those little roads? Well, we went down that, and that was the right way. That's how you get to Cameron from that Walmart. And it was fine for a minute because it opened up just a tad, and we're bebopping on down the road. My TV screen in my truck is telling me that we've got a turn coming here very soon, and we're in the middle of nowhere. We're talking like if we were going towards Quick. That's what the road looks like. Yeah, some of y'all are like, no, we got a bus and a truck, and we're just getting it because Trevor, he drives a fire truck. He don't care. Anyway, so we're just a bebopping along, and my Google dude, he says, it's time to turn. And I'm like, all right, we're about to turn. I didn't turn on my turn signal because I couldn't see if there's anybody behind me, so it was fine. But we didn't turn. We just kept going. And I'm like, oh, Trevor's Google must be smarter than my Google because he's not an iPhone guy. So he's going. So we move on past the road that we were supposed to be on. And we just keep going, and we found alpacas. Listen, if you ask him what was the highlight of the trip, we saw alpacas. And it was fantastic because when you take Trevor anywhere, and he's probably watching, so I apologize in advance, but when you take Trevor anywhere, it's always an adventure. Not me, it's him. So we find the alpacas with a couple goats, and we had to stop. We have a church bus and a truck with a trailer, and we're on a two-track road. You probably can't pass us anyway. And Trevor rolls the window down. I heard it from my truck. And within a split second, all of our eyes move 25 yards to the right, and we see the mom and the dad of those said alpacas in their mid-50s holding a chihuahua. And they didn't have a smile on their face, as did we. So Trevor slowly rolled the window up, and all was fine. We move on, and then we start seeing road closed signs. Welcome to Pennsylvania. I was panicking. And we get down into the bottom of this gravel road that we shouldn't have been on at a four-way, and I finally honk the horn, and I'm like, we can't go any further. I can see up there that that road is not existent. Like anybody, Google has failed me, so I see a beautiful house. I smell barbecue. I say, wait for me. I'm going to go up here to this house, and I walk up to the house. He said, Yinz is lost. I knew where I was. And I said, yes, sir, 100%, 20 people, those vehicles. I'm trying to get to Cameron, West Virginia. They didn't know where that was. GPS says we're only 20 minutes, and now I'm a little bit panicking. Thankfully, we were able to turn around. He said, go back to Wheeling. We went back, and I told Trevor, we missed the road, the main road. And he said, you know what happened? I saw a fire station. So I quit looking at my phone, and I saw the fire station, and I drove past the road. That's what happens when you grow that mustache. Your mind goes out. So it's fine. We turn around, and we start headed that way, and here we come. My Google machine telling me again, you're turning in 300 feet. I say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to use my blinker just in case Trevor's not paying attention. And we get closer, 100 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet. Trevor drives right on by it again. And it's at that moment that I'm like, wait a minute, Lord, I don't know what's happening. So I lay on the horn in a bit of frustration, and he looks backwards and he goes, it was the fire station again. But by the time we got on our road, we started bebopping out the number 2 ridge road, because everything out there is on a ridge. You don't play in the holler. We got there 40 minutes later, made it on time for dinner, and everything was great. Amen? It was a short story in my head. All right, let's get it on. All right, so here's what we did. We ended up, and I will tell you I won't dive deep into this story. 2 years ago, Trevor and Haley took the teenagers to Memphis. I was on vacation. They only had 1 week that worked for them. I said, y'all have to go without me. It's okay. So I didn't miss last year. We did something in Tennessee last year, and at the end of the week, or even the beginning of the week, we had some of our thoughts And so this year we said we are going to end up somewhere close. We would like to be a little closer, and I'll tell you later in detail why we were thinking that. And I've still had to answer this question multiple times. People say, how did you end up at a church in Cameron, West Virginia? And I said, well, the Lord is very good at working his hands, because we early in the year wanted to find something local. We wanted to go to MacDowell, somewhere south of the... It's only funny... The seven didn't even laugh. Anyway, we wanted to go somewhere local and not raise as much money from you parents and see what we could do to make an effort, because some of the complaints that we got, and yes, people do complain. Why would you go to another state? You could just work in your own backyard. I was that dude, don't get me wrong. But so this year I said, I'm going to call the guy from the Convention of Southern Baptists. I bet that we do trips around here, let's just get partnered in one of those. I have two rules. It's got to be at least an hour or so away so they don't feel like they're at home, right? Because when I tell you it's more for the kids than it is for the people that we talk to, it's unbearable at the end of the week to realize that it has nothing to do with the people that we impacted. It does for them, but not for us. It's just really weird. So I called the guy at the Convention of Southern Baptists, and I said, hey, do we do mission trips here that I could just plug into? Immediately, nope. But I got a church, and I got this lady that called for something in Cameron, West Virginia. I was at my desk, and I looked, and I was like, nope, pass. And he said, she needs somebody to run their VBS. I immediately was like, it's not me, 100%. He said, well, let me just give you the contact information so that you can just reach out. So I gave it to Haley because I didn't want to do it, because I said, we don't have the kids. I don't want to run a VBS. That's not what I was looking for. That was at least my desire. Well, within 3 or 4 days, they're like, well, the week that you could come, it's not our VBS anyway, but we are doing mission stuff in our town and in our community, people that come to our church, people that used to go to our church, people that hate our guts now, like, all of these things. We have a week already planned with people in our church if you would like to be a part. That's the biggest open door in the world, because now they're like, we'll feed you, you can stay here, and you don't have to come with any money. That's why we just let it rain at Walmart. We let it rain at Walmart. I ain't gonna lie to you. We had all of the good snacks. We didn't buy great value anything other than Haley. She's still tight. She likes good cashews, but everything else is great value. So we didn't have to pay for anything, so we didn't have to fundraise to you parents. We didn't have to. We felt like everything was going to be kosher. So we ended up in Cameron, West Virginia, because there was not another door that said, come do this here, and it's still in the state of West Virginia. So I said, I am for it. So we're going to do a couple things. These kids don't love to talk out loud about their favorite portions. So we are going to spend a few moments, and I promise I won't belabor this point. We're going to spend a few moments, and Haley... it's going to go over this list that she wrote of what we did every day, and the kids are going to talk about, is that not what we talked about?
That's not what we talked about.
My fault. Thank you, though. All right, just take it.
Okay, so we didn't know what, we had a brief idea of the work that we were going to be doing when we went into this week. You know, we got a list, pressure washing, mowing some grass, cleaning up around the community, and canvassing for their upcoming VBS. That's all we got. So we got there Sunday night and kind of went over the list, and there was like this whiteboard that we wrote on each night of the next day's projects. And it was a very long list for day one. And,
we thought it was for all week.
We thought it was a week long list, but it said Monday at the top. So we decided very quickly it was just the Monday list. But that was really their week long list that they had for us. They had no idea who we brought and how quickly these kids were going to work and move. So we're going to go day by day and just tell you what we did and let the kids have an opportunity to speak about who they met that day and what they did and the way the Lord worked in their lives. So day one, we went out to this two-story huge community water treatment building, and it looked like it was run down and just a hot mess. So we put scaffolding up. And we originally said there weren't going to be any teenagers on scaffolding, but this guy's too chicken to get on it. So
there's a picture on Facebook. I am on it.
Well, anyway, so we start with 2 10-gallon buckets of paint and rollers, and they're just like, all right, paint this building. So the kids went at it, and about halfway through, we realized there was way more paint on the kids than there was on the building. So we took half the team and He left a very small handful of us there to finish this building, and he went to Marge's house. Now, I do not know Marge's last name, but when we talk about Marge, just know that
Miss Marge.
She's a saint, and we love Miss Marge. So they went to Marge's house and spent the afternoon, and we all met back at the church, and we pressure washed the bus. If these kids tell you they cannot run a pressure washer, they're lying, because they did it all week, so put them to work. They pressure washed the bus and the church bridge, and then they dug, these boys, that was really fun to watch, dug a trench for some conduit. So before Pastor Justin starts on day one, do you guys want to say anything about painting the city building, Marge and her house on day one, or that pressure wash in the bus? Come on. Y'all didn't stop that whole trip. I know y'all can talk. Who went to Marge's house on day one? Levi did. Talk about Marge and what you met and what you thought of her. How you met her?
Well, the work was like not anything special, stuff she needed done around the house, but she would, she wanted the more like, she didn't want it all done. She just kind of wanted to talk to us, and we kind of had to split off in groups. Some people had to sit there and listen to her tell her stories, and some people had to go work, and I was part of the people who went and worked most of the time. But I heard stories of her house that was 200 years old, and it was built, most of it was built around a house that was like 200 years old. And the stories that she could tell about her missions trips that she took with a lot of people in like Arizona and Idaho and places like that were very interesting.
So at the end of day one, we had to kind of reel in a little bit of a conversation. Ms. Marge lives about 12 miles out of gravel road that it's 100% fine to do 70 mile an hour to get to. It's not frowned upon out there, even a little bit. There's very few houses out there. And then, you know, I was praying all the way out the road. All I knew is we were going to a lady named Miss Marge, and Miss Marge was going to keep us fed with lemonade, and she was going to talk our head off. And I'm like, psh, good. That's me. And so here we are bebopping out there, and every turn we made, I'd see this house. And I'm like, Lord, please don't be Miss Marge's. We can't even tackle that today. And we made another turn, and we made another turn. And before you know it, we make a turn to this opening of a holler, and the nicest log cabin you have ever seen in your life sat beautifully manicured grass, Babylon Brook, creek. Like, she had all of the things. And the reality was, I was like, Lord, please be Miss Marge's, right? And so day one, Sydney learned to cut grass because it needed to be done. But here, true, all right, you win. But here's the reality of Miss Marge and the conversation that we had about talking about widows and orphans. Miss Marge was in ministry all of her life. Her husband died in 2011, 2012. He was a pastor. They did youth mission trips, and she had more knowledge to impart on these kids. It didn't matter what happened at her house. We could have worked at her house. We could still be working there today. I mean, I saw her entire pantry get unloaded and loaded back up for no reason other than that Miss Marge could have conversations with our kids. And the benefit there was for our kids to know that a life of ministry work is still fulfilling. She still loves the Lord, and she still loves to talk about him. But at the end of the day, the church still has to take care of our widows. Amen? It doesn't get to pass. Like, it's not one of those things that we got to omit. So while we're like, listen, we're cutting grass and we're moving. Listen, she looked me dead in the face, and she told us how we needed to move the rocks because she had a little flood incident a couple weeks ago, and it kind of moved some stones. And she takes me down to the actual creek side. She's got a place where it came out over the banks and washed over into the road. And she's like, I need you to get those big, and we're talking stones. She said, I need you to get the big stones. And there was water moving. There's water moving on this side, making a turn, and the bank is over here, and it jumped out here. And she said, I need you to take all the rocks on the inside of the stream, and I need you to stack them over here on this side. And before you leave, I want the water to be on that side of the creek running. So I nodded with no intention of being able to figure that out. And I found out on the second day we did it wrong because she's like, the vertical stones are, I wanted them this way. And it was great. But the reason that we spent so much time there, we went back there a second day, was just to do the things that she couldn't do. Every once in a while, somebody shows up and cuts her grass. Somebody trims the hedges. They had a group there late last year that did rock moving in her creek so it doesn't jump out. Somebody cleans the gutters. Like, she knows that the Lord provides, and the time it took for her to, for us to have conversations with the teenagers, that it's like, it's more of a blessing. Yeah, it is not great to go sit in the creek and move stones for 4 hours because it looks like you're not doing anything, but you need to just listen to her talk. We've got some great pictures of her coming out, doling out cookies. And the blessing alone to her, for her to know that the Lord still works and is still at move in a young generation, it is just a confirmation fact that she did ministry all of her life. And for our kids, they don't fully understand that always, because it's like, we struggle with this all week long of, well, why are we going to do that? Why do we want to do that? And I'll cap on that at the end. Sorry. Oh, I liked the water plant, and I'll tell you why. We were able to have things come to my head. I don't have any notes for today. It was weird, right? Because the place was disgusting. The water treatment facility sits at the bottom of a dam, and they have a big pool of water up on top, but there was no water running that day. So this place is just filthy. And it's not off the beaten path, but it's kind of off the beaten path. And we just needed to paint it white. Well, they didn't do any prep work for us. They're just like, psh, paint it. So here we are with 20 people that needs 4 to paint it. So me and Trevor were scraping with 2x4s. And the reality was having conversations with these kids that we're doing something for the community, because, like, we don't need to learn how to paint. We don't need to learn patience in painting because there is none. But being able to do something for the community that is seen by the community, we had a couple guys that work for the water treatment facility show up to bring us lumber. There's no hardware stores, really. There's a lumber yard that had 4 2x4s and 1 2x6. They were 4.5 foot long. You can't even buy that, but that's what he come back with. He's like, that's all they had. You can't get anything around there. And he comes back, but he doesn't understand why we're painting his building. And the beauty is we're able to have the conversation that we're doing something for the community as the church with no desire of recollection or being recognized for the work that we do. Again, a very large task at the end of the week of trying to impart in, whether it's me or these teenagers, that's why we do what we do as Christians, not looking for recognition, but we are to fulfill the Great Commission. All right, day two. It's already noon.
Day two, we painted the outside of a laundry house. For those of you that know what that is, it's an actual house out back of your home where your laundry room is. So we needed to paint the outside of that for Miss Jean. Her husband has dementia, and he couldn't even know that we were on the property. He was inside the whole time, and she struggles to even get around, but she's his main primary caregiver. And so we snuck in there and painted outside of her home that day. And a small crew went with me there. We ended up having to leave for lunch because we couldn't go inside for the restroom. So we ran back all the way back to the church just for potty break, and then we went back and finished our job. While the other half of the crew went to Miss Barb's house, who's a widow, and is pretty much cleaning out her husband's things from 2 to 3 years ago. And she needed help cleaning out her garage and wood shop and organizing it. And then afterwards, we landed back at Marge's as a whole group for the second day. So does anybody want to say anything about Jean's laundry room house painting or Barb's garage clean out?
Well, I'll speak on behalf of Phil Jr. over there. Right. Phil Jr. over there, you know, there's a lot of misnomers about girls don't work. Like that one's got all of Phil. I don't know if it's a Duracell or an Energizer, but she's one of those batteries that when she finally sits down, she doesn't want to do anything else after that. But as long as you don't sit down, dude, she will work until it gets dark. And that, yeah, it goes after it. She even volunteered to stay and paint. Who does that?
She said, you know, we had to leave for lunch and potty break. And afterwards, we didn't have much. We had 2 sides of this building still yet to go because the sweet Miss Sandy was like 80 years old, and she was... she's a widow, and her husband was the pastor of the church. She wanted to come and serve with these teens and see what they were doing, and just thankful that somebody was still coming to the church. She wanted to paint this building with us with a paintbrush. And so she did. So we worked along right behind her, didn't we, Lorelai? And we let her paint as long as she wanted to on this 80-degree day. But we had to leave. And I told the girls that had stayed, like, you guys can go to Miss Marge's. You guys haven't been to Miss Marge's yet. Everybody wants to go to Marge's. I'll go back and finish this building. And Ella said, I'm not leaving a job unfinished. I'm going back to paint with you, and then we'll all go together. So we were proud of that in her and thankful for that. You guys have nothing to say about Miss Jean or Barb or Marge?
All of these people showed up for dinner every evening at the church. What, Barb, the house, the, what you call the house? The laundry house? That's her name, Barb?
That's Jean.
Jean. Listen, she put it all together. I just got credit for it. They all made something to show their gratitude and showed back up, and we had dinner with them every night. It really was a blessing all the way around.
Yeah.
She made a sugar-free lemon something. I didn't know it was sugar-free until I ate it, and I was committed. It was amazing.
So Wednesday we had a slow start because we were just staying around the church. Half of them went to mow some things. We pressure washed the whole church, the outside of it. We mowed and weeded it around the property of the church where somebody else kind of lives on their property. Cleaned and organized the inside of the church. Sydney took a group of girls over to a pig farm to create a life-size lighthouse for their VBS. We got to tour CanForge. I don't know if any of you guys have heard of CanForge. It's a forging company. They make all of your hooks for your cranes. It was very interesting. They can talk on that. We painted a ceiling in the dining room of a widow, and then we did Bible study with their church. And then they got to do some actual hands-on forging themselves that evening at the church with their wonderful Max. So anybody want to speak on that day? Somebody going to speak on that day?
Somebody's going to have to speak in general.
What do you think about CanForge?
It was cool.
It's very cool.
It was hot.
It was not cool. It was very hot.
It was very hot.
It was warm.
Warm. Okay. CanForge was. You didn't go to CanForge. You went to the pig farm.
Yeah. It was fun. We got to build a lighthouse. She had all these blueprints. It was a little complicated, but we got it figured out at the end.
Did you have to call in help for that?
No. We almost did, but we figured
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, we almost did.
Okay.
So this lady handed you these blueprints.
Hold on, mic, please. Trevor can't hear you online.
So we get there. And this lady's like, here, I have it all drawn out. It's going to be simple. Hands us scissors, like paper scissors, and says, this is what I want it to look like. And so I look at Ella, and I'm like, do you know what these mean? Because I don't. And she was like, and I said, we're going to have to call Phil, because I don't know what this means. So finally, I'm like, all right, let's just put our little carpenter pencil in our hat, get together, and we'll figure it out. So she keeps coming out, and she's like, how's it going? And me and Ella are like, great. And we're sweat because we're nervous. Like, we got 2 hours left. We ain't done nothing. And so finally we get in the car, and Ella's like, that really wasn't that hard. And I'm like, I'm glad we got out of there when we did. Because she was like, you guys want to see the little pigs? And we were like, yes, we do. So we left it unfinished, but hopefully she got it together. But
let's just... Sure. Anything. Your favorite moment, then I'll let you sit down since it's awkward for you. Your favorite moment in general.
Pass the mic.
We don't want these people to be ready to go without.
My favorite moment was probably getting to see everybody's faces after we mowed their lawns.
You can pick whatever.
I guess just spending time with people. Yes, the people that we met and the people that were here, you know, having an opportunity to grow a better relationship with people that I already know and grow a relationship with people I don't really know. And then the people who we work for, just watching them, like, almost not believe us do what we were doing on a day-to-day basis, I guess.
Was probably whenever, so the girl that we went to go clean the garage, she had come back one of the nights and was talking about how respectful we were and just how hard we worked and stuff. So I just really think that our work paid off, and it was just nice to hear somebody talk about something like that with a bunch of teens.
So I really just enjoyed hearing all the stories of these older ladies. I didn't do that much work because I'm not very strong and I can't like mow grass and all this stuff. So I just like, I stayed inside and I talked to these older ladies, and it was really cool to just hear all the wisdom they had to share with.
Yeah, I enjoyed getting to hear the older ladies' stories of when they went on missions and everything. It was interesting to hear.
I also like hearing the older ladies' stories because they talked about how they also went on missions trip with teens whenever they were like our ages, and they said that we worked really hard, and I like that.
I enjoyed pressure washing some of the church and fellowshipping with the widows that we met.
Perfect. Will y'all sit right here on this row?
Hold on, I got one more. The last lady's house that we went to pressure wash, her porch, the only reason we were working at her house because she was not originally on our list, but she saw the laundry house getting painted. She saw the church bus come by, and she saw a bunch of teens, and she knew, you know, we're talking about Cameron, West Virginia. She knew they were not from Cameron, West Virginia. And she looked out her window. She's in a wheelchair, and she likes to watch the neighborhood in her wheelchair. And she looked out and saw a group of people over there painting, and she wanted to know, what's happening in my neighborhood? Why are those people over there? So she calls around and finds out that it's a missions team from Charleston, and she wanted to be a part of that. So we went and pressure washed her porch and danced outside in her yard. And I have amazing footage from the week, really, if you guys want to see any of it.
Yes.
But people in the community noticed that there's a bunch of teenagers running around the neighborhood doing this and that and painting and silly stuff that it's just going to ruin in a year, right? Like, that paint's going to chip away. It's going to need repainted in a few years. That pressure washing job is going to last a whole week right down the road from Camforge. That wasn't the important part, but people were noticing that something was happening, and there were a bunch of teenagers running around their neighborhood, and they wanted to know what it was, and they wanted to be a part of it and what the Lord was doing, and his name was glorified this week because of physical labor and the hearts just listening to the lonely widows talking and telling their stories. And I'm so proud of these teens for taking a part in things that they didn't want to do, and letting the Lord use them in that way.
All right, y'all sit in the front row. Sydney's going to sing a song that I asked her to sing, and then I'm going to preach for 7 minutes. All right, give me 10. Listen, nothing in this world was ever guaranteed us to be easy from the moment. Y'all need some more room. Just shift that way a little bit. Nothing was ever guaranteed easy. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, come be a Christian, everything is going to be fine for you. We could go around the room with this microphone and find trials and trials and trials and tribulations and problems and things that are not easy. But the end is good. Amen.
Many times.
Yeah. You can for sure do that. Listen, sometimes it's just for me, but if that doesn't fire you up, your wood is wet. It's just one of those things. So I have a very short, let's go 7 minutes. You could even stay because it'll make me go quick. Here are my sermon notes on how do I press on what we did as teenagers on a mission trip. What did we learn, and how do I bring it back to you? In my notes, sorry, I thought I could do it without these. It says, when was the last time you felt yourself on fire for the Lord? And it was very quickly, and that's a question for you, of the those of y'all that are taking notes. What I found very quickly that the Lord provided to me, because I don't love to work with my hands. Y'all know it. I'm a salesman and a preacher. I will work all day long, not at the Trevor pace. Trevor started digging that ditch with not the implement needed, and finally they showed up with a mattock, and 42 and a half seconds later, he has 27 feet straight up a hill done with the correct tool. There's a sermon in that, but not today. Got it done. I don't love to work, so everything about this is just a little bit weird for me. Last year, I had a lot of frustrations that Haley and Trevor spent the first 3 days just talking me off the ledge, because I said, this isn't what we signed up for. This isn't what our dollars should go for. This isn't what the Lord had for me this week. And the reality was I was wrong, right? And so this year I said, let's do something close to home, do what we want, because we won't do what they did. And guess what? We end up in the same scenario, but totally different. We end up in a scenario of doing a bunch of things that I have no control over. I like to have a say-so in things and just get after it. The beauty is you won't find one of these teenagers that's going to get up at 7 a.m., take a shower with absolutely no running water, just, you have to hold your hand. Any of y'all been in the showers down in the gymnasium that's like hiding back behind the gym? They're y'all aren't as large as me, but you got to go in like this, and if you want to switch sides, you got to go out and go back in like this. Is that right? You got to go in there, and they, sometimes in the boys, there wasn't enough water pressure, so you had to hold your hand up on the edge of the wall just to, come on, please. Anyway, but you can't tell me that you'd find any one of these children that say, I want to get up at 7 o'clock and go mow grass and pressure wash people's houses just for the fun of it without getting paid or whatever. So we had to have the conversation that we are here. Why? Because the Great Commission says we are too. We are not to worry about even a little bit what the outcome of what we do. And the only thing that we have to worry about is, did we say yes to the Lord? Did we pray before we went and said, Lord, open the doors for us to do the things that we are supposed to do, and we did. And the beauty is I was the biggest problem. These children were work all day. I still could run my mouth about the things that we were doing, because the frustrations of looking at grass and mowing grass for 5 hours straight, knowing that as soon as we get in the truck, within a week and a half, you won't know that we were there. I'm like, this is dumb, Lord. This is dumb. And the reality is these kids understood it from the get-go. It doesn't matter what we are doing. It's a blessing to those people. It's a blessing to everyone that we showed up. Even though everything we did will be gone in a few weeks, we were there right now. And it was not for them for us to go. It was not for them. It was for us. It was the understanding that we want to put ourselves in trials and tribulations. Now, granted, there are two sides of the aisles when we talk about trials, tribulations, persecution for your faith can be something that you do that somebody doesn't like, so they persecute you as a Christian. And then the other side is this work you don't want to do for the Lord because you just don't want to do it. You don't see the value in it. So that's what we embarked upon. We embarked upon trials that we didn't want to do for the sake of somebody else because we love the Lord. We are foundational in the youth group. We do not go too far past your foundation, because when they have to talk about the gospel to their friends, they're going to take them to the beginning. They're going to take them to the basis of what's happening. So when I said we are doing all of this stuff with no complaint because it's about our own spiritual growth, everything was good. They were on board. I still looked at the week and said, do we really need to do that? One thing I found out about Trevor is great leadership, but the minute a plan is made, don't deviate. You say we're going to mow this grass, we are finishing this grass. He doesn't want any more input. He doesn't want you to change the course of what he's got going on, and he's going to bird dog that grass until that grass is done, and then he's up for something else. Me, I like to always change halfway because I like to get things started and not finish. Anyway, here's what became apparent to me as the youth pastor. I said, Lord, put me in situations that I can learn on these trips, because I'll be the first one to tell you, when they said we want to go to Memphis on a mission trip a couple years ago, I said, have a good time. I ain't about that. I ain't about it. God has never woke me up in the middle of the night and said, Justin, you're going on a mission trip. I didn't go on them as a kid. I didn't go on them now. I said, do your thing. It's fine. I don't want anything to do with it. Take my kids. It's no big deal. I don't want to go. The second year, I was like, you know what? I have no excuse. I'm the youth pastor here. I got to go. But I don't really want to go. So I went, and I went with a bad attitude, and I was mad throughout the first whole portion of it because I showed up without being prayed up. I showed up without the desire to do just whatever was there, and I was just mad at all of the circumstance. And I said, next year we're going to do it all different. And I am thankful for the Lord being patient with me time in and time out. But what we find is we found a guy that showed up on day one, and his name was Max. And he was just... all of the things. He's that one guy at church that's just always around, kind of awkward, super harmless, country as it gets. Everything he owned was in the back of his truck. Sometimes it fell out. And he was just always there. And now listen, if you can't envision in your mind that guy here, it's you. I'm just saying. It's probably me. I ain't going to lie to you. But here's the cool part. The first night, do I think any of these kids really wanted to learn about forging? Nah, right? And this guy's like, well, he makes knives out of railroad spikes. And I said, well, if he's part of the church, maybe some of the kids would enjoy seeing it, and it'll be a blessing for him to let kids see what he's doing. So he shows up with a propane bottle and a three-burner forge box about 48 inches long, about yay big. We got plenty of pictures. And he fires up all three burners, and I tell you what, it just starts glowing. Well, Max is excited to talk to these kids about it, and so these kids start putting things in. He pulls out some railroad spikes, and if you're not familiar with forging is putting something in super, super, super inferno hot so that you can pull it out and start working with it and making it into something that it's not. Y'all are seeing me for a moment, aren't you? Right? And this was Tuesday. I could cut grass all day, but I will go again and let the Lord speak to me as he did as I watched this firebox. So we start out with a railroad spike, stick it in a firebox, and we just talk for a minute while it's getting hot in a place that it doesn't want to be, for him to then put on gloves and take it out. And every one of these kids right here, young adults, every one of these young adults got to pull it out, got to put it on an anvil that was on the tailgate of a truck with no suspension. So every strike was very waste of time, but we were there for it. And they got to take this from a railroad spike, and they would beat it. They would beat it while it was red hot and lay it out, and it would start to cool off. Again, I don't have enough time. But it would start to cool off, and it got put in the fire again. Some of y'all are going, Lord, I don't know that I want to hear that this morning. And we would beat the fire out of it till it cooled off, and you stuck it right back in the fire. You went back to talking and doing something else, and then you pulled it out again. And every little bit you'd pull out, it would start to shape a little more, start to shape a little more, start to shape a little more. And man, I had a moment by myself that I said, Lord, if that is not the understanding of the Christian faith, I don't know what is. We don't love to go through trials, but when I tried to pick one piece of scripture when it talked about being refined by fire, I was met with resistance. You know why? Because everywhere. I have 15 references that I'm not going to give you because I want you to do your own homework. That everything in the Bible talks about being tried by fire. Jesus tests your heart and your faith by fire. This fire was not against their Christian walk, just against their fleshly desires. We put ourselves into situations with zero care about what the long term was. It was about now. Lord, I know you want me to go on this mission trip. Lord, I surrender to whatever is tasked of me, I will do. We had zero drama. We had 6 days. We had lots of countless hours, and we worked. They had to be up at 7 o'clock. We didn't stop till 8 o'clock every day. If you can't tell me that's not a teenager trial, I don't know what is. But then we went from this on a Tuesday night, and on Wednesday we went to a place called Cam Forge that she alluded to, and that's a forging shop. And they are probably the nation's largest crane hook manufacturer in the middle of nowhere. The only reason that they can still be in existence is they own the mountain behind them and they've got free gas. So they can let those fires run day and night for free, and that's the only thing that keeps them in business. But they're making hooks the size of those back doors. This is nothing. This is on a small scale. They got to see the big scale that everything adjusts with fire. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you want from us this week, but that's the message that I'm going to have to my teenagers. You have got to be willing to get put in the fire, to be tested and tried, to come out what the Lord wants you to be. It doesn't matter if I want to turn that into Play-Doh or clay. I have to be malleable. Malleable. There's no English teachers in here, right? There's an EA and a U somewhere in there that gets all really weird. But again, when I said, you know, I went to bed about 2:30 this morning, and I've known that I was going to preach on this for a week and a half. And I thought I'd get it done early in the week. And all week long, I said, Lord, 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 just tell me where I need to be. And every night, I got to study on a different place in the Bible that he talks about. I will try you by fire. Nobody likes to be burned. Raise your hand if you love to be burned. Does everybody understand the process of refining gold and silver? So when you start to heat up gold, there's impurities all throughout, but you get it really hot. And what comes out to the outside, they scrape off. And when it cools off, it's more pure than it was before. And that's our Christian walk. That's our Christian walk. You've got to be ready in the Lord's work. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you one. Romans 5, starting at 1, it says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Here's the spot. If you're taking notes, think of this big circle. I draw this in a big circle in my head. I'm a visual listener. I have preached this many times before. I've drawn this on paper because it is a cyclical adventure around and around and around until we get strong. I was going to make Aaron Walker come up here and show you like he's stronger than me with weights because he's done it a handful of times, and I don't need to do that. You guys are understanding how this word is permeating in your mind, but it says in 6, it says, we rejoice. Ain't nobody going to insert anything different from any of your translations in that. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. Walk with me here in a big, big circle for a moment. Suffering. We rejoice in our suffering because knowing that suffering produces endurance or perseverance, depending on what you're reading, and endurance produces character, because that's, my heavens, that's what we all want in this faith, right? We all want good character, and character produces hope. And I want you to get that circle stopping back up here to write that word hope. Right? It is a big, big circle, because as we do things time and time again and that endurance builds, we have hope that we know how to get through it. We have hope that the trials in life will bring us back to a place that you are ready to do that. These kids are ready to be tasked with something. Why? Because on the back of our shirts, we talk about, stand up. Oh man, I pray that that's the right one. Turn around. What's it say? They can't read it. They're old. Come up here. No offense. It's just little, that's what I meant. And Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples, whoa, don't move, of all nations, I am old, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. We believe it, we preach it, we live it. You can sit down now. That's why we go do what we do. So my question for you goes back to when, that's all my notes, I promise. When was the last time you felt yourself on fire for the Lord? It's two. That's twofold. Are you on fire and pushing out the Great Commission? Or are you in the fire, trying to find a way out on those ebbs and flows that he talked about? Being on the mountaintop is sweet, but it's more few and far between, and you're not going to make it to the next mountaintop without going through the valley. And if there's any of you in here that say, I am a Christian and I've never been in a valley, I'm going to insert your own adventure there, right? So we found one thing as the week went on. We sang a song last Sunday for invitation, and I'm going to get real awkward with you guys this morning. It's 12:30. I am well past my time. It's Father's Day. Y'all got a place to go, but listen, the Holy Spirit showed up this morning. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but I love to hear Phil pray. Every time I preach, I ask him to pray. It gets me fired up. I make her sing songs to get me fired up, because at the end of the day, I want to be on fire for what the Lord has in my life to teach you. it's a short amount of time that we are in here. Your Father will understand when you show up absolutely on fire for the Lord. But as Luke talks about all the time, don't say something out loud or don't sing something out loud that you don't mean, because the Spirit of the Lord will let you know quickly. So I'm going to ask these kids to not be awkward and stand right here. We're going to put up the words to the last song, and Sydney and Bird, I don't even know, we're missing sound.